Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I feel like you've been to church this morning. Amen. I can honestly say this, if we close the service, and you heard me say it before, I can say I've been in the house of God, amen. And I heard His word. I heard the spirit of His word. And I felt life, amen. Hallelujah. Let's just sing another song as we worship Him for a moment. Stand together and love the Lord. You're standing on holy ground this morning, amen.
I worship You, Almighty God. There is none like You. I worship You, O Prince of Peace.
I minister to your heart this morning.
That is what
He wants to fill you with His Spirit.
To do.
The joy of the Lord. Power of His salvation. Worship Him, magnify Him. Hallelujah.
You're
serving an awesome God. Thank You, Lord Jesus. Father God, we thank You. Father, we thank You, Lord God, for Your presence, for Your life, Your power, Your salvation. Father God, we thank You, Lord God, that You are alive and well and still reigning in us, through us. Father God, we thank You, Lord God, that Your mercies are new every day. Father, we thank You, Lord, that You are a long-suffering God, gentle and patient. And oh God, as we don't turn that to lasciviousness and we strive to walk with You in a greater, closer way. Father God, we ask You to have Your way this morning. Father God, even though our hearts may be burdened and may be heavy for the lost and the dying, and even though, Father God, You've burdened our hearts with such a burden for soul winning, oh God, knowing that there's even ones that walk among us that are lost and don't know You, having a form of godliness but denying Your power. Oh God, let us pull together, unify together in one mind and one accord, Father God, that we can see souls brought into Your kingdom, oh God. Fathers, we see the day and the hour approaching, Lord. We see gross darkness that's infiltrated this world, Lord God. Fathers, we press our way into Thy kingdom. Father, help us to be an example, O God, of Your word and Your spirit and Your life. Father God, that they could look upon us as a united brotherhood and see God alive and well and moving in the behalf of the people of this world. Father, we love You. We thank You with a great expectation of You, knowing we are nothing and have nothing, O God, as a man to say, but knowing that You have all things that pertain unto life. And as we yield our mind, our hearts over to You, we say, have Your way, O God. Speak to Your people. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Y'all be seated. You love the Lord this morning?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I could truly say I love the Lord and I thank Him. Amen. You know, brothers and sisters, we're serving an awesome God. Amen. Truly awesome, awesome God. When we think of time, and we think of creatures of time, and we think of dispensations, You know, when we think of those things as a man, we err. When we think of those things in human mind or carnal reason, we err. And when we think in the matters of time, you know, we're not thinking in the mind of God. You see, there is no time in the Spirit and in the Lord of those things. There is no time. And as a man, we think we've got plenty of time. And as a man, you know, we think, as the scriptures say, oh, we've heard this for generations and generations. And they lightly esteem or mock God. You know, thinking, oh, we've heard of this coming. We've heard of this and we've heard of that. And they despise the word of God. And when you think of time and think of plenty of time, you know, like the Bible says, your life's like a vapor and a mist. You're here for a moment and gone. And you know, when we think of man's life, we might say 50 years, 100 years, whatever it may be, it's nothing. It's a vapor and a mist, and it's here for a moment and gone. And when we think of that moment that we spend in grips of time, that this is what sets destiny for all of eternity. You know, you would think of a man as a foolish man if he went in before the bank and the banker said, look, if you could do this for 5 minutes, I'm going to give you $2 million. And the man couldn't do what the banker asked him to do for 5 minutes. He rebelled against what the banker asked him to do in a 5 minute of time, and a man could have been a multimillionaire, say. And you think, what a foolish man this is. If he could have just yielded to what the banker said for 5 minutes, he would be worth, you know, millions of dollars. But he could not yield himself for 5 minutes' time, and he loses out with nothing. And you say, I could understand that. But you see, that's our life. It's like a vapor, a mist. It's here for a moment, gone. The Bible says quicker than the weaver's shuttle. Some of you have never maybe seen that. But even if you go back in the times of the Bible, times when those things were written, I've seen a program where they took and how they used the weaver's shuttle. And it was a little shell thing, and they could take that thing and throw it right through. It's like they would literally throw it, and it would just go right down there so fast. But that's life. It's here for a moment and gone, just like that. And then we think of destiny. And what our destiny has to do with what this brief moment was. And I know when we get into predestination and the works of Christ and things, but then the Bible says, make your calling and your election sure. And the thing is we know that we're predestined in Christ and saved before the world ever was. You know, we could say we understand that and know that. But if we do know that, then there's going to bring forth the fruit of that. I want you to turn with me this morning over to 1 Timothy. And I'm going to go to a couple places. I enjoyed the songs this morning, the granddaughter and brother Sister Luffin, very beautiful. But you know, I think, as like Brother Ed said, don't listen to the singer, listen to the word. So inspiring, the word, when we think of the spirit of the word. You know, brothers and sisters, and sometimes we forget the power of the spoken word. And I'll tell you, it's ever so important. Like I said, when I first came up here, if I never opened my word to preach the gospel this morning, I could say I've been in church. And I could say that a message has gone forth. You say a message in song, but brothers and sisters, the power of the spoken word is such a powerful thing. And so many times by the words that we speak, we create a world around about us because we're creators. And sometimes we don't like the world that we live in, but we can't get mad at God. We can't get mad at the devil. We can't get mad at our wives or our husbands or our brothers or sisters or friends. We created the world, brothers and sisters, that we live in. You see, the disciples, when they was in the same world at this very same time that Jesus was, even though that Jesus was walking in a different world, wasn't he? He was laying there asleep, perfect peace. And they were in despair. We're going to perish. Oh, we're going to die. We're going to perish. He says, oh, ye of little faith. What made Jesus' world different? Faith. What does faith do? It brings a substance. And it brings forth a manifestation. Let's go to 1 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. I want to read the 16th verse. And if God will help us this morning, maybe we can elaborate a little bit on some things here. 3:16. And it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. I'm going to say that again. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Boy, there's so much could be said with that one verse right there. And there again, it depends on how we look at it. Sometimes we look at these things in time. And you say, well, the Lord Jesus came as a creature of time. In that image of the sinful nature is an image of time, in the sinful image. But then yet we know the Father in the Spirit, and there is no time in the Spirit. But we see the things of the spirit world manifested in the things which we see. The things which we see are timely until we have eyes to see beyond that veil. When we think of a mystery, a secret, is godliness a secret to you? It is to many. It's hidden from the religious realms. Not true and undefiled religion, but the religious realms. It's hidden from the order of religion in this day and hour. Godliness is a mystery. It's a secret to them. They don't know what it is. Never walked in it. and knowing that it's the Spirit, but they never walked in the Spirit. And I know that sounds very critical or very judgmental, but brothers and sisters, it's not hard to look and see. It's not hard to look. I mean, if we're going to accept everything, well, you know, this brother said he prayed the sinner's prayer and he said he's a Christian, so be it. But I mean, the thing is, you know, if you are a father or a husband and you're wanting to bring forth a child into this world and you go through the motions, you might say, of the relationship, and you can go and start telling everybody you're a father, but you know, there's going to be a fruit that's going to come forth from the womb to vindicate that you're a father. There's going to be a fruit that comes forth from the womb to vindicate that your bride is a mother. There's going to be a fruit in a life that's going to come forth. You know, and so many times, you know, we could say, well, this and that, but our heart's far from it. There's no manifestation, no vindication. Or again, when we say the mystery of godliness. I want to turn back just a little bit here to Galatians for a moment. And we're going to speak about some of these things. I'm going to read one more scripture on the way over to Galatians. Just ran across it here. I'm going to read from Ephesians, the 3rd chapter. It says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation," again timely, "of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery," a secret, "as I wrote for in a few words, whereby when you read it, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, and now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promised in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of grace God given unto me by the effectual working of his power unto me, who am less than the least of all saints. Is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery?" Speaking of a mystery again. And the more you understand the mystery, the more you know that it really is a secret and it really is a mystery to so many. It shouldn't be to us, because the Bible said that we're to be stewards of the mysteries. Go back over to Galatians now, about the 5th chapter, with the thoughts of godliness in mind. This is very common scripture to you. If the Lord allows, maybe we could expound on some of it. Verse 16 says, "This I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that ye would. But if you be led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, reveling, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another to envy one another." This is very common scriptures, brothers and sisters. Very much read scriptures throughout all the churches, throughout all the denominations and things. But then yet there's a mystery that lays forth within these things. And many times it's a mystery, a secret, a hidden thing, an unknown thing, an unrevealed thing to the flesh. Now the thing is when we think, brothers and sisters, of a secret of godliness, and the thing is that we always could look outside of our own life, and we could look into the other people's life and see if it's a secret to them, seeing if they have this mystery, or if it's been revealed or unveiled to them, or if they've seen it. But then yet, brothers and sisters, many times it's a mystery within your own life. It's a secret within your own life. You see, as I spoke a moment ago about a man that says that he is a father or wants to be a father or starts proclaiming that he is a father, there's going to be forth a fruit that's going to come forth that made him the father. And when we say a secret, brothers and sisters, the secret will become unveiled. You see, if you're expecting as a woman and you want to keep it a secret, you'll only be able to do that for so long. There's going to be a time that you won't be able to keep it a secret. And it's going to unveil. Now the thing is in Christianity, or you say as the bride of Christ, you know that you're not an heir of God unless you bring forth heir to the throne. And the only way you could bring forth an heir is through the birthing. And when you bring forth this heir to the throne through the birthing, we could say, well, it's a secret. It won't be a secret long. I guarantee you that it won't be a secret long because he is made to rule. He is a ruler, a commander. I was listening not long back about a message. I heard Brother Pike ministering a message, and he was talking about dictatorship. You know, we in America, we despise a country that's a dictator. You know, most all of your communist countries, it's not, you know, what the people say. It's what the head of the country says. He says, this is what we're going to do. This dictator of a communist country said, look, this is the way it is. It don't matter if the people like it or not. They have no say-so in the matter. You know, we of America, we have the freedom of speech. And we set our government because we pull together and we vote. And we say, well, this is the laws that we want to live under. And this is what we're going to do. And we set the order ourselves. And we like that. But that's far from godliness. That's far from the mind of God. And you see, America's not going to like it when Jesus sets up the throne in the perspective, naturally speaking. They're not going to like it. They're going to despise it because they don't like order now. When the ministers begin to command the house of God, they don't like it now. When they speak up through the authority and the divine power of the Holy Ghost, it's not something that's well liked today in this hour. It's despised, and they don't like it. They don't want to submit to it. You see, and it's just the same spirit, brothers, sisters, that is going to rule this world when it comes back and sets up in Jerusalem. It's here now ruling. The very same spirit that will be made manifest in Jesus, the same one that ascended up, when he comes back and sets up rule, it's here ruling and manifesting now to you that are in the spirit and are led by the spirit and walk in the spirit and understand the mystery. Now, the thing is, you see, we could break it down into a church and a church order and the headship of a church. And that's a proper thing to do, but you still miss it. Let me tell you something. When you as a man, when you take off and you're by yourself, there's still an order of God that is taking place. And either you've subjected yourself to the ordinances of God or the order of the spirit world and you're walking in the spirit, or you are led by the flesh. We read right here about the ones that are led by the flesh and what the fruit thereof is. So oftentimes, brothers and sisters, we are guilty of making everything everybody else's fault. That's human nature. Adam done it first. Well, the woman made me do this thing. It all started there, and it hasn't changed. Are you justified in sin because of what somebody else done? Are you justified in bitterness because somebody was evil to you? Are you justified in anger because somebody wasn't kind to you? Are you justified in malice and vengeance, envy, strife, and heresy? Are you justified in those things because of what somebody done? If there would ever been one that would have been justified, you'd say the Lord Jesus, wouldn't you? Man, they spit in his face. They plucked his beard. They plowed his back like a field. They drove nails into him. But how did he deal with it? You see, brothers and sisters, we got to bring forth and yield forth the fruit of godliness in our life. We could talk the right thing, say the right thing, go to the right church, pray to the right God, and be lost. You see, we got to bring forth the Spirit. And the Spirit has got to come forth and be made known and be made manifest. The secret is going to have to be unveiled. The mystery is going to have to be exposed, and it's going to have to be known. So oftentimes we have the right things to say, but then yet there's no fruit. The Bible says, you serve me, you know, you speak with your mouth, but your heart's far from me. How many times are we so skilled in what to say the right things? Oh yes, I've baptized in the Holy Ghost. I speak in tongues. I go to church. I pay my tithes. I pray and I ask Jesus in my heart. You know, I did this. I done. We got the right things to say. But then when we look, brothers and sisters, of the fruit, and when we look of the manifestation, and when we look to see the mystery to come forth, we don't see it. So oftentimes we've taken, and I've said this time and time again, I've heard Brother Jonathan say it speaking. And the thing is, so many times we take the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and we make it into an intellectual teaching, or we take the mysteries and we take it into some kind of a veiled thing within the scriptures and the word, and we've unveiled it and we could tell you what it says. Oh, I could tell you what this mystery is. Thus, us and us. We just read what the mystery is. Christ manifesting in the flesh. You see, the thing is that brings that mystery unveiled. When Christ is manifesting in your flesh, brothers and sisters, it's the unveiling of Christ. And it won't no longer be a mystery because he's a conqueror. He's a ruler. He's a God. He's not the God of this world, but he is a God who will take authority and dominion over the things of this world, over your worldly pleasures, your worldly life, and worldly lust. It will do that. You see, brothers and sisters, people are looking for God. They're looking, they want to see God, they're calling upon God, they're praying that God come and God return and God come back to this earth. And the thing is they don't see him when he's there. He walks among them and they despise him and ridicule and crucify him. And they won't see their visitation, their day of the Lord, because they've never understood the mystery or the secrets of God. You see, brothers and sisters, what we do to one another is what we do unto the Lord. You say, oh, I love the Lord. How can you say you love God when you don't love your brethren? And that's the only way you pass from death unto life. And if you can't love one that you can see, how can you say you love one that you can't? You see, there's so many ways to check up where we're at. There's so many indications along the spirit walk that we're walking in that bring us. So many times I deal with a lot of people, brothers and sisters, and I deal with people full of animosities and strife and anger and malice, and they're just mad at the whole world, mad at everybody. Everybody's in their way. Everybody's causing me problems. Everybody's done me wrong. Everybody, everybody, everybody. And it's all the Lord. They're just spitting in God's face because God prepared every single incident, every single spoken word, everything. It was sin of God. When you have hatred against somebody, you have hatred against God. He's the one that sinned it. He's the one that prepared their heart. He's the one that allowed them to pluck your beard. He's the one that allowed them to spit in your face. He's the one that allowed them to plow your back like a field. He's the one that allowed them to rob from you, to steal from you, to kill you. And you say, well, what kind of God are we serving here? Why would he allow such a things? Because you're interested in the things that pertain unto the flesh, and he's interested in the things of spirit life, and he knows he made you more than a conqueror, and he wants to see you start manifesting the power and the authority of the spirit world. And the only way the spirit world will be made known and seen its power thereof is to exercise over the things of this fleshly world. And that's the only way that you're going to exercise power and authority over the flesh is through opposition, brothers and sisters. Go read it in the Word. You're not going to see the manifestation of faith except until you see an adversary coming against the flesh to kill, to destroy. That's the only way it's going to be made known. And so many times God's trying to perfect us, brothers and sisters, into godliness, and we're rejecting it, and we're calling what is sin of the Lord, and we're giving it over to the enemy. And many times God does use the enemy to do the things that happen, but we got to understand that those things cannot come lest he sends it, saith the Lord. If it all works for our good, why would we call it bad? Why would we say when things happen in our lives, why would we say it's bad when he says it works for our good? What's necessary to win a soul? I mean, when we see the Lord Jesus beaten beyond recognition, and you say, could there be anything good in that? Life came through that. That was where life, that was a manifestation of love. When you've seen the blood flying, and you've seen the back being ripped to pieces, and you've seen all that, that was the manifestation of love. You would have never known what love is lest that took place. That was the manifestation and the action of love in the fullness. But you see, not in this world. We have a different definition of love. God is love because I could live a sinful life, and he loves me so much he's going to give me eternal life. You know, God is love because I could live like a dog and a devil, and he's going to bring me in and give me everything that pertains unto life. I smell like a pig from rolling in the pig vomit and out there in the mire, but he's going to make me smell good in his presence. You see, you misunderstood the love of God. That's not the love of God. Brothers and sisters, if I had some supreme God that was over me, and I'm trying to live a life and raise my family in such a way, what makes you think that he's going to come and put a pig in the presence when I've got everything cleaned up and just come put him in and say, here, this is, I'm love, so you're going to dwell with this pig now? Is that the way heaven is? Is that the way it's going to be? Is this the way that, you know, we're just going to be up there with a bunch of thieves and robbers and filth and wretchedness because God's love? See, we don't understand what love is. Love, brothers and sisters, is going to bring that harlot nature, that pig nature, and it's going to bring it to the forefront that it could be crucified and killed. And so oftentimes when we're venting anger and wrath and malice and animosities towards others, and we're making it their fault, and we're good and godly and holy, and these people are wrong, we've come against God. Because he's doing those very things to pull those things out, that you could recognize them, that they're no longer a mystery, or they're no longer a secret, that you could see them, and all men's hearts are fashioned alike. And we have a way of hiding those things. We have a way of hiding those things back and trying to bury them back in there, and trying to push them things way back in there. I could say this about my pastor, Brother Pike, was a very skilled man. And you've heard me say playing the little flute, I think, what they call them, snake charmers. You know, when you see the snake charmers and they get their little flute out and they play the flute, and here comes that old serpent up out of the hat, I guess you say. And Brother Pike was very skilled at that. See, the Lord knows that, brothers and sisters. God is very skilled about bringing that serpent up out for the head could be taken off of it. And if that serpent's laying down within the image of your first birth and it's hiding itself back, it's going to have to come forth for it to be dealt with. It's going to have to be an expose of him. The son of perdition must be revealed before the revealing of Christ. So this is going to happen within your life, and you reject it. You despise it. You come against it, and you come against God. And you've got to receive it. and understand it and rejoice therein and praise Him and receive His power and be full of His power and quit warring against the things of God and start putting the enemy under your feet. So many times we want to sanctify the things that are of darkness. The Bible said they love darkness more than they do light. So many times we want to take the things of darkness and we want to make them religious. And we want to veil them in such a way to make them like, well, this is godly now. No, we're supposed to mortify, kill those things out. You say, well, you know, if you understood sanctification and transformation, then you'd understand a change. I understand what the change is, and I understand what the manifestation of the Spirit is. I understand it perfectly well, brothers and sisters. But the thing is we got to know that there is a death first. And when that body comes forth from the death, it's no longer this one of iniquity, and we don't serve it. Brothers and sisters, there's a difference. So when we think, brothers and sisters, of a mystery, when we think of a secret, you know, the thing is we could say, well, this brother over here has got the revelation, or this one over here. But what good does that do you? You must bring it forth in your own life. It's wonderful to know a man over here that walked in the Spirit. It's wonderful to know a brother or a sister that walked in the Spirit. But you know, brothers and sisters, they're there for an example to you and I that we can be led by the Spirit and that we can walk in the Spirit. Brothers and sisters, I observe things and watch things of people, you know, as they say, puffed up in their fleshly mind, thinking they know something when they know nothing whatsoever. And it seems like everybody else could see the fruit in their life of ungodliness and the things that would separate them from God. But it seems like it's veiled from them and they can't see it. You say, could it be a secret? Could it be a mystery? Could it be because I quote the right scripture at the right time? Does that mean it's manifest in my life? You see, again, we can have the right thing to say, but our spirit being far from Him. You see, brothers and sisters, I know this sounds like exhortation, and it's an exhortation to each and every one of us, including myself, that we need to observe the things of the Spirit, and we need to despise the things that would be of the flesh. And if it's a continual warfare, brothers and sisters, and the Bible said, take up our cross daily, mortify the things that would be of the flesh, talks about a daily catching up to the throne. This is something that we got to exercise daily. And too many times we're guilty of looking back at great experiences we had. Well, you know, I thank God, man, back at camp meeting, the Spirit of God poured out on me. I rolled in the floor. I leaped over the pews. I ran around the church. I danced in the Spirit. I spoke in tongues. I had a vision. I had a dream. You know, that's all great. But brothers and sisters, you know, let me hear you push away from the food from the table. Let me hear the testimony that you put the food away from the table. And let me keep hearing you testify about the meal you had 2 weeks ago. Pretty soon, that's not going to work for you. You'll find that yourself will perish. You'll find that you'll perish, that you have to bring something today. God is a spirit. He's a spirit of life. And we need that spirit of life. I heard Brother Pike make a statement one time in a message. He said about being filled with the Holy Ghost. He says, I pray to be filled with the Holy Ghost daily. He says, I want to stay full of the Holy Ghost. You say, well, I think the infilling of the Holy Ghost is a one-time action, a one-time work. And I could agree with you in a dimensional sense. It's not that He gives you a spirit and takes it away. When it comes as the rain on the just and the unjust, it'll be with you for a moment and it's gone. But when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's something that you'll have forever, but there's still something to stay full of. You call forth the fruit of that Spirit and you bring it into a manifestation and you bring it forth and bring it out. Brothers and sisters, if you're so skilled in life, of going through life seeing my faults and everybody around me's faults and everybody around you faults, and that's all you see, you've come to no revelation whatsoever at all. You see, the beginning of revelation is starting to see your own shortcomings and failures. And that's a hard thing for a man to see. That's the hardest revelation for him to come to. Man is indoctrinated like himself. You've heard me make a statement. I said, you know, I moved from California to Georgia to be introduced to a guy I thought I liked, Rob Coons. Well, I thought he was a pretty good old guy. Man, he come to know God, was trying to do his best, preach here and there, and try to help people and do some things in the Lord, and had a pretty good understanding, a pretty good education. I thought he was a swell guy. Well, I found out that he was the enemy of God, and the only way I found that out was by being an introduction coming and find out that all flesh is the same and all men's hearts are fashioned alike, and found out that that's the enemy of God. But see, that's a revelation, brothers and sisters. I can't give that to you. It's got to be revealed by God to you. You say, well, are we supposed to hate ourselves and despise ourselves? The image of your first birth. And you should only glorify God. But when the things of godliness that you do just to bring glory to yourself as somebody in God, then you've missed the spirit of it altogether. The only one that can receive any glory and honor is Him. And when you no longer live in Him that lives and Him that dwells, and all glory and honor goes to Him. And when you come to find out that you are bone of His bone and flesh, and you've received the glory and honor because you're one with Him. There isn't a greater thing than that. But we want preeminence. We want recognition. You know, we want to be seen and esteemed of men. You see, brothers and sisters, that's the fleshly part that has to die, has to be done away with. And whatever it takes for God to bring us to the revelation of the Lord or the mysteries of godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness is the way we should pray that we could do those things. Brothers and sisters, as I prayed, I've been so burdened because God has showed me the people, some people in our midst that are lost on their way to hell. I'm telling you, lost. I don't say that lightly. It grieves my spirit. It grieves my heart. Thinking, oh God, what can I do? And then I find that I have no voice. And I have no say-so in the matter. Because they've esteemed themselves so great in God. And so great in the mysteries of God that they can't hear God speak. And then when you look for the fruit of God and the fruit of the Spirit in their life, it is so, so far from them. It's not there whatsoever at all. And it's so easy to see the rejection of God. You see, brothers and sisters, when you're full of the Holy Ghost, you love the brethren. You see, and when you're totally, continually despising and smiting, who came to kill, steal, and destroy? Who is the one, the accuser of a brotherhood? How come we can quote those scriptures, but we can't see it? If there's always something in our spirit trying to destroy and trying to kill. And brothers and sisters, I'll tell you this, if you've got to slander or kill somebody to make you look good, you've missed the Lord. Let's talk about that outside of God for a moment. My father told me back when he was in business, in his early years of aviation, there was some guys that were thieves and robbers. As a matter of fact, they were coming and stealing aircraft fuel from my dad. They were stealing aircraft parts from him. They were stealing materials to do, and they were taking it and offering it to dad's customers, saying, hey, we'll put this stuff on free. They were stealing and lying and doing all those things. Dad said that he'd come to find out that if he would speak against them, it would cause him problems with his customers, so he just went on about his business. And he found out that he couldn't slander them others to get business, that he just went on and done a good job and he would get business. You see, is there a truth in this? If that works in business, how about a mind in the ways of God? If I got to make somebody else look bad to make me look good, I've missed the Spirit of the Lord. And let me say this, brothers and sisters. I was speaking with a brother yesterday, and I made a couple statements. I said, you know, I said if we go to a personality and we bring forth a negative aspect of a personality, and we do it to destroy the other person or to make us look good, then we're in error. But then yet the Bible said these things are examples for us. If I read about the children of Israel where they murmured and complained against God, am I fault-finding? I'm reading it in the scriptures. And they murmured and complained against God and the earth opened up. Am I murmuring and complaining? Am I speaking against the children of God? The Bible said those were the children of God. No, I'm talking about what they did as an example, knowing that God's the same. Not bringing those things forth to bring a fault-finding or railing allegation against them that we can understand the justice of God. And sometimes, brothers and sisters, I will say that in conversation with brethren trying to indoctrinate, teach them, exhort them in a godly way of walk, sometimes my pastor was the same way. Sometimes he would find himself speaking about personalities. But it wasn't in such a way of a smiting or of strife and discord. It was in a way of saying, look, this is what the fruit of this is. Now, if I could testify and say, well, brother such and such, he went out and he sowed this and he done this and look at the rewards that he got. And we do it in a positive way. We could say, man, praise God. But brothers and sisters, there's also a testimony against the works of the flesh. We just read about the things of the flesh and we read about what the end of the matter is. It's hell. And it said none of these would have part in the kingdom of God. And we read about all these fruits of the flesh. And if we see the manifestation of the flesh within an individual, it's not that we would slander the individual, but we'd say, look, this is what the fruit of that is. And then we could use the very things that I just spoke as a way to sow strife and discord and think we're doing it godly. You see, it's the spirit that we have to judge it by. I remember when there was some sisters and they wanted to start a prayer meetings in a home. I said, no. They got mad and left the church over it. And I said, that's not going to happen. Prayer meetings got to have somebody that has been set in an order. Because you know what they turn into every time? They turn into a glorified gossip session. Well, let's pray for such and such. You know, boy, he's got this problem, this problem, this problem. But boy, we're spiritual because we're going to pray for him. When it's sowing strife and discord. Because it's Satan coming in a veil and in a lie. Presenting something that's needed. Yes, we need to pray. You should have a burden to pray. You should be praying in your home, not just when you come to church. You should have a burden of prayer in your heart and be praying for the brethren and praying for the saints of God and praying continually. The Bible said without ceasing. But many times, that's what they turn into. You know, if there's an order there to keep an order in it, it's a different deal. You see what I'm saying? But there again, those things made manifest, they're made known, and we see them. But you see, brothers and sisters, we have to understand things by the Spirit. A word could be spoken by one, verbatim, and by one speaking it through the Spirit of life. And another one speaks the same word verbatim, but he speaks it through a spirit of death. And the impact is so different. If you could understand what I'm saying, it's so totally different. And as the brother Ed and his wife sang the song this morning about words, you see, if words are spirit, and we're created in the image of God, and we should be creators ourselves. And how did he do it? By the spoken word. Then we should be able to speak word. You see, if you see something that you don't like and you speak that, then you strengthen the wrong. But then yet if you would speak the things that are not as if they were, then it comes to pass. And there is a time, brothers and sisters, that we've got to learn to sow goodness, righteousness, holiness. I've made a statement so oftentimes in marriage counseling to the man or to the wife. I say, look at your companion. That's your garden. What you sow over there is what you reap. And if you're continually belittling, finding fault, making railing allegations, and speaking evil of them continually, you're going to reap that. And you created it. You can say, I hate my wife. You created her. You made her that way by you doing those very things. And vice versa, the same with the wife towards the husband. I'm talking about the things of God and the principle of God. I know the Bible said if you perceive there's no understanding man, and depart. Or if the unbeliever departs, let him go. The believer's not bound that. I understand the scriptures, brother, sister, but I'm speaking to the saints of God and the Christians. And I know that there's people that aren't the elect and ain't going to line up with this nor understand it. But I'm talking to you as the elect of God. I'm encouraging you as the children of God. And I'm saying in the mind of God and the things of God, there's a way of God. And we speak it. Well, if I start speaking to the devil and I start saying, I know he's the son of God. I know he's the son of God. I believe he's got life. I think he found repentance. You keep on talking like that until you're blue in the face. It ain't going to happen because he's predestined. But brothers and sisters, if they're the elect of God, they'll be yield to the move of God and the Spirit of God. And you see the fruit of the flesh in an individual, and you'll just automatically say, well, that's not the Spirit of God. I see the fruit of the flesh, so that person is flesh. We have to rend the veil. And we look to mortify one and bring life into the other, and there's a transformation realm that's taking place there. There's some 30, 60, or 100-fold there, and we have to understand that. So oftentimes it takes God years to bring you to a revelation and an understanding, and all of a sudden it comes manifest to you, and you say, wow, there's the problem, and then you do something about it. But then yet you'll go look at somebody that's been serving God for 6 months, and this is something you came to after serving him for 20 years, and you think, well, you ignorant thing, this is where you're supposed to walk. Where's your grace? Where's your long-suffering? Where's your mercy? But then yet we take it and turn it into foolishness when we've been walking with the Lord for 20 years, and we say, well, I'm just a baby. Well, I just don't understand. Sometimes we choose those terms to think that it's going to bring the grace of God to us when we truly do understand, and we truly know what's right and wrong, and we truly know. We despise the Lord, and we just go on. Brothers and sisters, this is a message to all, because we're all men's hearts fashion alike. We're all dealing with the same principalities and the same powers. We're all dealing with mankind. I could identify those spirits of a man because I've dealt with those spirits. And there's no new thing under the sun. We're not dealing with some kind of new spirits here. Well, this is 2000. It's the same spirits. It's the very same things. The Bible teaches us very clear like that in the end time. It'd be like it was in the time of Noah. It's the same spirits, brothers and sisters, the same God. He's the same. If he's the same today, yesterday, and forever, so is the Antichrist. There's no new tricks. He's a deceiver. And when I find deception and deceiving and all those things going on, it's the same old spirit manifesting itself in maybe another form, another personality. But once you learn to see it and understand it and recognize it, I'll say to you so many times that you're going to ride the trail again. Why? Because we're more than conquerors. And so oftentimes we think when we see a mistake in our life that we've conquered it now because we see it. No, you get the opportunity to bring a manifestation of the conquering. That means you put it under your feet. Well, I recognize where I went wrong. I recognize that. Praise God. Let's go on now. No, you're going to deal with it. I say it so many times, going to ride the trail again. And you're going to deal with it. And you're going to deal with it until you conquer it. I learned that in very early walk with the Lord. In the very early days when that brother came to me and said, Brother Rob, it's going to get worse until you conquer it. And I thought, God, it can't get worse than this. And I thought, if it's going to get worse, I better conquer it now. Because it looked awful big in my eyes. It was a big thing for me to accomplish. But I saw God move and his power move. You see, for the power of God to move is going to make you look big and makes you look small and him look big. Humility, brothers and sisters, brings the power of God. And when what you do is wants to bring admiration to yourself, he said he'll humble you. But if we would humble ourselves and say, I'm nobody. I'm the least of anybody. I'm serving a great, big, mighty God. Then that's when God shows himself. But if what we're doing is to bring preeminence unto ourselves, God steps out of the way. And we command and control the things of God by the way that we do things. You know, big I's and little U's, you say this and that. Well, we need to find the order of the Lord and find out if Brother Paul said, I'm the least of any of you. You know, and look at the great things that he done. And if he's the least, where does that leave us? And where we would go. Brother Pike used to say things of such end, I thought, my. He said, brother, and if by the grace of God, if I ever make it in, I'm thinking, well, if it's by the grace of God, I got no chance if you're having a problem. I mean, I felt that way because I seen the love of God in the brother. That's what made him a great man of God, because he conquered the things that would be of the flesh. He didn't try to make him religious. He didn't try to make him godly. He didn't try to cleanse him in the blood. He mortified him and killed him. Are we supposed to clean the flesh with the blood? Is that what we're supposed to be doing? Is it supposed to be making it clean, or is it supposed to be mortified? See, it's where you lack understanding. There's one died and one made clean. The one that's made clean is the bride. That's the one without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. It's not your flesh. It's the bride that's made without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. And the bride saved in childbearing to bring forth the son. It has no sin. You see, the flesh has to be killed. All men's hearts are the same. It's all got to die. Quit trying to make it religious. Quit trying to paint it up and make it look pretty. Quit trying to justify it, kill it, mortify it. Get rid of it. But when you love your flesh and you savor the things that be of the flesh, you'll never be able to do that. You got to learn to despise it and dislike it and hate it. And when you do that, then you don't have a problem killing it. It's not hard to kill something you hate and despise, but it's hard to kill something that you like and love. And when you love your flesh, you won't kill it, but you're commanded to mortify it. You try to save it, you'll lose it. But if you'd lose it, then you save it. See, that's the ways of God, and that's God's way, brothers and sisters. This isn't someone else's battle I'm speaking about. I'm talking about ours. I'm talking about yours. It's so easy to make it the other man's battle. And I know that the Bible says what the minister says, one he says to all. And yes, there is times that you leave the 99 and go after the one, that you have to go to them and try to minister the word because of where they're walking and where their things are. You know, we have to do that, brothers and sisters, because there's people that amongst us that have not God's Spirit. You say, well, how do you know if a man's got God's Spirit? Because you see the fruit of God's Spirit. A tree is known by the fruit that it bears. And again, if we backed up here and read in Galatians and read the fruit of the flesh and the fruit of the Spirit, it's not hard to see. You could convince yourself that you're a child of God, but if you got the fruit of the flesh in your life, then you're none of his. The Bible said the axe will be laid to the root of the tree. You know, and I do know, brothers and sisters, in the dispensation of grace, that there's a time that these both grow together. The Bible said you let the wheat and the tare grow together, because if you go and pluck up the tare, you'll get some wheat with it. And that's in that dispensation of grace. That's not speaking over in the spirit realm, brothers and sisters. That's speaking in the soul realm. And that's in where the dispensation of grace is, and that's where the blood's at. And we got to make sure we can differentiate that and see that. And there is a time that you let them grow together. So you say, well, if I see the fruits in the flesh of somebody, then that means that they're not the elect of God. You need to be careful. Because, you know, just like Peter, you could say, well, he wasn't the elect of God. He savored the things that be of the flesh. The Lord rebuked him, said, get you behind me, Satan. But then yet he had the revelation who God was and preached the first message in the New Testament. He's the one who preached the first message. So you say, well, I've seen the flesh manifested in this guy. I've seen anger and vengeance and wrath and stuff. He's of the world. He's of the devil. No, it's a manifestation of the devil in him. And hopefully he'll get enough God and full of the Holy Ghost that he could conquer that thing, that he could be sealed into eternal life. So in that second realm of where the grace is and the blood's on the mercy seat, there's a dispute for your life, a dispute for the body. I understand that. But how long do we keep on turning the grace of God into lasciviousness, and we keep crying grace, 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 and keep spitting in the face of God? When does His Spirit no longer strive with us? When does His Spirit no longer draw us? Do you know that? Does any man know that? Does God's Spirit always strive with man? There are some that are cut off, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Some that will never feel the drawing power of God. They'll never find repentance on this side or on the other. Never find forgiveness in this world, the Bible says, or in the world to come. And there's people that get to that such of a place. Have I ever met them? I say, yes, I have. I found people that go that far. I've seen it happen more than once. Right in my presence, the Lord may know that there's cut off, and there wasn't anything you could do. Wasn't no kind of prayers that could be said. Nothing could be done. They're cut off in this world and the world to come. You say, I don't believe that. Well, that makes you an unbeliever. I'm just speaking the word of God. If there's some twice dead plucked up by the roots, they're dead while they still yet live. What do you think the Lord meant by that? And you say, usually they've gone a long ways to do that. But who are you to find fault with God if he has one vessel to honor and another to dishonor? Who are you? I can't find fault with him. As I've stood here before and said, if the Lord puts Brother Rob Coons in hell, he's a just God. And he has every right to do that. If he takes and remits my sin, puts it as far as east as west by his works of Calvary, who are you to find fault with that? I rejoice in the Lord. I'm saying, and if I make it in or you make it in, it's not by my righteousness. It's by faith in his righteousness. And if this is all done by faith, and faith, we got to bring it into a manifestation. You say faith is because I believe in God. The Bible says the devil believes even with fear and trembling. Well, faith is because I believe God died and resurrected. That's not faith. That's not faith. What is faith? It's a substance. What is faith? Is faith a quoting of the scriptures? No, faith is a manifestation of the Word, and His Word is Spirit. And when faith is made manifest, brothers and sisters, in a substance, it brings that glory of godliness. It brings that manifestation of godliness into a substance that's seen. Do you understand that? Are you talking about that the people could look into my life and see Christ, the hope of glory? I say yea and amen. But it's that you should be able to look, and you should be able to see, and you should be able to see the son of perdition. You should be able to see him and make him manifest. Sometimes we're skilled about making him manifest in other people's life, but we need to make him manifest in our own life or we could kill him out. Don't let him hide back in the veil of your flesh. Quit making excuses for him. Quit thinking, oh, you know, I thank God that he died for me and nobody's perfect. He said he's made you perfect, and we have to bring the fruit of perfection forth. And if we can't bring the fruit of perfection forth, then we're none of his. So the thing is, we need to quit talking about his perfection and talking about the perfection that dwells within us. And walk ye therein, and be ye perfect, even as your Father in heaven is perfect. And change the confession of your words, and change the confession, and let your faith be spoken of, and be speaking by the mind of God and the power of God, and start sowing into those things that are unpleasing in the eyes of God, and start sowing life into those things that you could see life made manifest. You see, and sometimes we could be an adversary to the enemy and think we're justified in doing so, and we can't do that. Brothers and sisters, the Lord loves you. He loves you so much that he gave you everything that pertains unto life. God wants to bring the fruit of the revelation, the manifestation of the Spirit, the glory of God in you. Be wonderful. You know, man, I know Brother George had the revelation of the Lord. Boy, I know Brother Branham had the revelation of the Lord. I know Brother Paul had the revelation of the Lord. So what? What good has it done you? And I'm not speaking disrespectful of those men of God. But what I'm saying, they brought forth the revelation that you could see them as examples that you could do the same thing. Great that you walked with a great man of God. Praise God. Great that you, you know, was married to one. Or great that you prayed with one. Or great that you preached with one. So what? What has it done for you? If you walked with a man of God that was an example of godliness and holiness and virtue and righteousness and mortified his fleshly deeds and actions, then you're just more accountable because you see that it could be done. Just because you knew them, it'd make a special place for you. You're just like a Catholic. Well, you know, I pray to Mama because, you know, the son, he's just a little bit too tough, but Mama's more forgiving. So I pray to Mary if I can make it in. What kind of ignorance is that? Same kind of ignorance when you think you got a good godly mama and daddy that you're going to make it in by their prayers. Their prayers are going to bring a fruit of manifestation in your life. And if they don't bring forth the fruit of manifestation in your life, then you're none of his. You see, prayers are going to bring forth a manifestation. A prayer, brothers and sisters, you say, well, you know, I said the prayer. Well, the prayer is a spirit. And it's back just to what I said in the beginning. You see, when the Father says, I'm going to be a father, there has to be a seed that goes forth. And when the seed goes forth into the womb of the mother, it's going to reproduce a fruit of the womb. And that spirit, that seed, is going to bring forth a life. And if I'm a child of God, there's got to be a seed that goes in, and that seed's got to bring forth a life. And you say, well, we pray that the seed go forth. I say, yea and amen, pray that the seed goes forth. Pray that God would water it, and pray that it would come forth. Some of it sparked up real quick, but the cares of this world and the love of this world choked it out. You think a child of God got choked out? No, it's an allegory. God never lost a one. But it's an allegory. It would appear to look like God coming up, but when it chokes out, it shows that it was not, because he's never lost a one. This is when we get to reading about the tear, you know, and we get to read about we need to be careful how we discern those scriptures and where we put things, because sometimes we think that justifies backsliding or God losing one when he said he never lost a one. Well, I know that they were born again, they was elect of God, but they fell away. Ain't no such thing. I know the Bible talks about the great falling away. I'm not ignorant, but I'm saying he never lost a one of his. Never. When they went back, it was to be made manifest. They was never, never, the Bible says, never of them. You know, so it's not that they were great men of God and great servants of the Lord and they lost out because he never lost one. Amen. Why didn't he lose? Because we're more than conquerors. We've conquered death, hell, and the grave. We've conquered everything the enemy has to throw at you, brothers and sisters. And if you want to know that you're more than a conqueror, you want to know that you're a child of God, you want to know that you're born again, you want to know that you're full of the Holy Ghost, is that your prayer? Man, I want to know that I'm the elect. I want to know that I'm born again. I want to know that I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. I want to know I'm a child of God. I want to know that my name's in the book of life. I want to know that I'm eternal. That should be your desire. Well, then, if that's your desire, brothers and sisters, you're going to get the opportunity to show the authority of who you are. It's going to come. Well, I don't like that. Then you'll never know who you are. I've used this as an example. If you had a desire to be one of the world great boxers, man, I want to box, man. I tell you, I think I'm pretty good. Get your punching bag in your closet. Get your speed bag hanging on your ceiling. Man, you could wear it out and be good. Man, look at the rhythm that guy's got, man. He's the fastest on that speed bag I ever seen. You can't even see that thing going back and forth. He's so fast. Boy, look at him go on that punching bag. Man, he is good. But put him in there with a sparring partner. And all of a sudden he gets knocked on his backside. Well, I don't like this part. I just want to box. Well, you better like that part because that guy puts you on your backside trying to teach you something. Lord will put you on your backside. He'll knock you slap down. You say, oh, you're serving a different God than I'm serving. No, he said he chastens them that he loves. And let me tell you something, and I'll tell you what. If you don't know chastening of the Lord, you don't know the love of God. That's love. I'm telling you, if you don't know chastening, people that just go on through life and they live like dogs and devils and they just go on. You know, I've had some people speaking against me in this infirmity. And I'm thinking, my God, they're speaking against me and I'm really making a sincere effort to serve the Lord. And they're speaking against me and I look at their life and I said, they're living like dogs and demons and devils and living in the world. And they're talking about God bringing judgment on me. And I said, if that's the case, what kind of judgment is they going to bring on themselves? And it scares me, truly, for their soul's sake. I'm telling you that. Not justifying me, brothers and sisters. I'm growing in the grace and knowledge of God, and I rejoice in the Lord. And if this is the chastening of the Lord, I rejoice. I'm a son of God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. And I rejoice. Well, surely God wouldn't allow that to happen. I guarantee you, I've told you and testified over and over, he allowed this to happen. And I rejoice in the Lord. Well, I think if you was where you should have been with God, you wouldn't be busted up. And I say, yea and amen, you're right. Amen. I agree with you 100%. But I'll tell you what, he's having his way in it. And I rejoice in the Lord. Amen. And I love him and praise him. I'm not cross with him. I'm not angry with him. I'm not questioning him. I'm not challenging him. I'm not challenging his mercy, his kindness, his grace. Not one iota. I don't even war with the thoughts. I rejoice in the Lord. And I say, man, he's an awesome God and a just God. And as I've said, if one soul comes to the kingdom of God, if one doctor, when they come in my room and expected to see a man moaning or groaning or whatever, and I testify the Lord, I hope it moves them. Amen. They've come to consider their own ways. Hallelujah. I love the Lord, brothers and sisters, and I could say that all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord. Do you love him? Amen. Bring him manifested, brothers and sisters, in your life. Let's take it from a lip service into an action. You see, when we read the book of Acts, that's what Acts is. It's actions of the early church. It's an action. We read about the actions. When you go over and read an Acts, you're not reading about what Jesus did. You're not reading about the conquering of what Jesus did. You're not reading about that. You're reading about the manifestation of what Jesus done in the body of Christ. It's an action. You understand what I'm saying? It is a manifestation of Christ in a brotherhood, in the bride. A manifestation of Christ in the saints or in his body. And the thing is if we're continually talking about the power of God, the glory of God, the victory of God in someone else's life and haven't brought in our own, then we don't know him. It's not a personal thing. Boy, I thank God what he done for brother such and such. I thank God what he done for them. But you don't thank God for what he's done for you. He's given you everything that pertains unto life. Walk ye therein. And when these things come up and give you opportunity to show that you're no longer a man, but you are a God, then take advantage of those opportunities. And quit showing yourself to be a man and showing yourself to be a God. And the only way that you're going to show yourself to be a God is by killing the man. And that's where we stop right there. We'll take God so far, but when it comes up to killing ourselves, that's where we stop. And that's where the victory's lost in many cases. When you want to go so far, talk about the cross. Talk about others on the cross, but when it comes to your cross. Jesus had to do it. He was the firstborn of many brethren, and he was the example. And the Bible said, if this is what I do to my own son, talking about the brutality that happened to him, he says, what more so do you think I'll do unto you? That's what the Bible says. Oh, but you know, I think Jesus done it all for me. He took care of everything. and let's just quit church. There's no need to go to church. There's no need to pray. There's no need if Jesus took care of it all. Well, don't you believe that he took care of it all? Yes. And I believe he took care of it all and gave me his spirit. And I'm about the Father's business just like Jesus was. So I'm not doing the things I'm doing for my soul because he's already taken care of that. But I'm doing it for others because I'm a son of God. And I'm about the Father's business, bringing the revelation of the Lord, the glory of the Lord, into a point of manifestation that others could see good when good comes, because there's people in my midst, in my presence, that are lost and are going to perish. And it's my responsibility, brothers and sisters, to bring godliness into a manifestation and understand what that is. Don't let it be a mystery to you. Don't let it be a mystery. Bring forth the mystery of godliness within your own life. Don't let it be a secret to them. Brothers, sisters, it shouldn't be a secret. When it's not a secret to you, it'll be made known to them. It's not a quote. It's not a memorization. It's not memorizing Brother Branham or Brother George Pike's messages. It's a matter of bringing the fruit and the Spirit of God alive into a manifestation and you no longer living and Him living. That's revelation. That's revealing. Revelation means to unveil or to reveal something. And when He's going to come revealed in your life, that means that you've died. The son of perdition has been killed and mortified, and He's alive in your life. Amen. So don't despise that. When it comes around, look at it. Accept it. Kill it. I had to come to this understanding when I said under Brother Pike, when you go to church, the sword would come forth. And if you just listened by the flesh, you would leave in despair, anguish, maybe even anger. And you'd feel unworthy, unclean, and you'd feel terrible when you'd leave church service. Because he had the sword coming after the flesh every service. You understand what I'm saying? But I had to come to a revelation, and I thank God for the minister that has seen the wretchedness of the first man, Adam, in my life, of my first birth. And he's exposing that. And instead of despising the ministering of the word, you start getting on and say, help me. Thank you for helping me kill this man out and mortify and kill that man out. Not despise, but help to kill that man. And then when the words of life came, of being born again and living forever and passing from death unto life, would receive that at the same time to that inner quickening. And it would come up in strength and power. And we learned to rend the veil. As one was being killed, another one was being made alive. And until you could do that, but the problem is, in most people that profess Christianity, they're trying to make their flesh alive in Christ. And they're trying to make their fleshly part alive, and they're trying to clean it and say that this is what it's all about. But that's got to die. Quit trying to save it, kill it, and let Christ live. There's only salvation in Him. Predestination's only in Him. Quit trying to save your life. Get rid of it, give it, then you'll find life because you will be one with the Prince of Life. There's no other life outside of Him. Amen. He is the one and the only one. You've heard me say it. You've heard Brother Pike say it. He said there was eight come over in the flood. Just eight. And then you go over to Sodom and Gomorrah, just four. And then when you come out of Egypt, entering into Canaan, just two. And there's only going to be one that makes it this time, just one. Yeah, you're looking at Him. Just keep looking up this way. I'm telling you the truth. And if you can't see Christ in me, you ain't going to make it anyway. And the thing is, I'll tell you like this, that He's the only one that's going to make it. And that's why you must be predestined in Him. And then you'll make it in. He's the only one going to make it. You just get it numbered in your mind and know that you're not going to make it, that He's going to make it. And just go ahead and kill that guy out for you can be one with Him. And then you'll make it. It's the only chance you have. The only hope. He's the hope of glory. There's the revelation. He's the only one. Be one with Him. Bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Amen. Come to the mind of Christ, the revelation of the Lord. Reveal Him. Look for an opportunity to testify Him. Rejoice in Him. Love Him. He's the Prince of Life. He's everything. There's nothing outside of Him. Quit looking for it anywhere else. It's just in Him and solely in Him. Amen. You ain't going to find it in a denominational world. You ain't going to find it anywhere out there. You won't find it. Through acts of religion or denominations, you won't find it. You got to find that personal relationship with Him. One might find it in the Baptist church. Another might find it in the Methodist. Another one might find it over there. But when they come to it and they recognize who it is, they'll separate from it. They've taken the glory to man and the admiration to man and not to God. And you say, well, you're telling me that if they're Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or church God, they're not going to make it? See, you've totally misunderstood me. I said there's someone who will make it in there. But they're not going to make it because they're Baptist, Methodist, Church of God. They're going to make it because they're born in God. They're born of God and born in Christ. You ain't going to make it by being a member of some certain church. The only way you may make it is by being filled with His Holy Ghost. And it'll happen in some of those works out there. But when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, it's like I went to a meeting called the Charismatic Catholic. And I thought, Well, if these, you know, they said they got filled with the Holy Ghost and they got this speaking in tongues and this and that, and they called it Charismatic Catholic Church. And I thought, well, if they really got filled with the Holy Ghost, they'll come out of this. You cannot get filled with the Holy Ghost and keep numbering yourself with something that's not of God. When you get full of the Holy Ghost, the Bible said he'll lead you into all truth. And the thing is, there might be people over there that ain't got the revelation that you got. It may not be imputed to them as sin, but when it's unveiled to you, it'd be imputed to you as sin. Just because it's imputed to you sin don't mean it's imputed to them. It's imputed to you because you have an understanding and a revelation. And sin can be imputed to you, but it may not be imputed to them because they've never seen it. They never saw good when God come. The Bible talked about the Jews, they were being blinded in part. And who done it? The Lord did. Why? For they could have salvation. Because if they were blinded and they couldn't see it, they couldn't be accountable to it. That's the mercies of God. And there's people out there that are blind, and it could be the mercies of God. Who are you to find fault with him if he has one daughter? You say, well, I just don't want to understand. I just want to stay blind. This and that. Well, it proves you ain't got in spirit anyway. If that's your testimony, it proves you ain't got him, because when you have his spirit, you have a hunger and thirst after righteousness, and you want to grow in the grace and knowledge of God. Let's stand together, brothers and sisters. Challenge yourself. See if you be in the faith. Or examine yourself, as the Bible says. Brothers and sisters, let's do more for God. Let's press our way into the kingdom of God, the things of God. Look for opportunities to mortify the man, the outer garment. Look for opportunities to see when evil's coming against you that you could stand against it and say, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for letting me show my power, his power. You understand, that's the only way his power is going to be seen, is in the adversity of the flesh, in the tribulation to the flesh, persecutions to the flesh. Quit trying to justify the flesh. Let God live, rule, and reign. Amen. He loves you. Let's sing a song or two. We won't keep you long. I appreciate you. Appreciate Brother Randall and Brother Gabriel and Brother Andrew coming over and working on our playground yesterday. Brother Randall purchased some sand rock and they put out there trying to get the playground ready for the school kids, and appreciate that and your labors. What you do is unto the Lord, brothers and sisters, there is a reward. Amen. Reward for all labor. Thank you, Jesus. That's truly from my heart when I say he's my everything. Sing it from your heart that he could be your everything. When you come to find out that you're nothing, have nothing, then he really becomes your everything. Because you know you're nothing without him, and have nothing without him. Only thing you have is death. But when you come to find out that he is life and there's no life outside of him, then you'll come to revelation of knowing that he is your everything and he is your all. Because without him, you're nothing. When you have life outside of him, it's temporal. Full of confusion, calamity, strife. But when you find life in him, it's a life of love, joy, and peace, and happiness. The Lord Jesus found that when they were beating him and ripping his body to pieces. He said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. The reason he said that is because he knew what living on the other side of the veil is. He knew what life was. It didn't matter what they did to that temporal image of sin and iniquity.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like to receive other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org, or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina 27261. We, the brothers and sisters of Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come worship with us. Our services are at 10 a.m. on Sunday morning and 7 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday nights. We are located at 3842 Mount Gilead Church Road, Sophie, North Carolina, 27350. For directions, go to christiantempleonline.org/map. Thank you again for listening, and may God richly bless you.